I bring greetings from our Lord Jesus Christ. May God's blessings be with you this morning. Before we begin, let us go to God and pray. O God, our faithful God, praise and thank you for your love and faithfulness. You have called us to yourself and you are faithful to us. This morning we ask that you grant us attentive ears and hearts as we listen to you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. There was a couple in relationship and they had begun to plan their wedding. They were looking forward to a bright future together. But one day, the young lady found out that the young man had been unfaithful. She was devastated, and she decided to end the relationship. Some of us have experienced betrayal. Some of us have witnessed broken marriages, broken promises. If you have experienced any of these, you may understand the pain of God when people walk away from Him, when the love of His covenant people grew cold for Him. It pains God because He has always loved us. The book of Malachi tells us of our Creator God and Redeemer. He's a God who loved us and desire our honor and complete devotion. Last week, in Malachi chapter 1, the prophet Malachi reminded the people that God is faithful even though the people were faithless. His message for them was to respond to God's love in genuine obedience and offer their best for God. Today in chapter 2, God invites you and I into a relationship of blessings. You are exhorted to be faithful to God because He's faithful to you. God is always faithful, but His people are not. How then can we be faithful in our relationship with God as well as in our relationship with others? The first point, be faithful in your relationship with God. Upon return from the exile, the Jews built the temple. They could now worship the one true God in their homeland. But the Israelites now face new challenges. They face persistent opposition under a foreign power. They would have tried to look to the priests for guidance. In the Old Testament, the priests led the people in worship. They ministered to them. They served as judges and teachers. Sadly, the priests of those days did not help the people draw near to God. They themselves were corrupted. Because of their faithlessness, God sent rebuke through the prophet Malachi. Verses 1 to 3. And now, O priest, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart, to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will rebuild your offspring and spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. The priests were rebuked for their unfaithfulness. They did not obey God and they did not give God their top priorities in lives. So judgment was on them. they themselves, their blessings, their offsprings will be cursed. Although the priest failed God, God was faithful. To motivate them towards himself, the faithful God reminded them of the covenant with the Levite. Verses 4 to 7. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest shall guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. In the covenant with the Levite, God promised them life and peace, and the Levite and priests were to fear and revere God. God reminded the priests of their primary role. The priests were given the task to be the guardian and teacher of a body of religious knowledge. And as messenger of God, they were to keep God's instruction true and pure, and pass it from one generation to another generation. But the priests did not fear God, and they did not stand in awe of God's name, and they did not instruct the people to walk in righteousness, and they did not turn them away from sin. The priests were unfaithful to God, but God had never forgotten his people. He's faithful towards them. God did not cut them off. Although he judged them, his heart was always turned towards them. The Lord, through Malachi, warned the priests and called them to repentance so that his covenant with his people could be maintained. God desired that his people would respond to him in sincere obedience. God is faithful and persistent in his relationship with his people. He desires for the corrupt priesthood. His desire for the corrupt priesthood was their obedience. And that is what they have been called to do, to have correct instruction in the knowledge of God. They were called to give proper teaching to the people so that the people could have proper worship and lead a righteous life. Verses 8 to 9. The unfaithful priest will be cursed. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I made you despised and abased before all people. And inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. God judged the priests for their failure in their priestly duties, for not giving sound instruction, not providing virtuous example to people around them, for causing others to sin against God. Because of their faithlessness, God will humiliate them in the eyes of the people. Well, is the priestly failure in Malachi chapter 2 of any relevance to us? We live in challenging and troubled times like the time of Malachi. Yet it is different. We encounter challenges and disappointments too. What does the priestly failure has to say about our duty as leader and teachers, as moral example to people around us, or as parents who guard the knowledge of God in teaching our children. Thomas A. Kempis was a German-Dutch canon regular of the late medieval period. He was the author of The Imitation of Christ. He wrote, "Faith is required of you and a sincere life, not a lofty intellect nor a delving into the mysteries of God." As followers of Jesus, how may we lead a life of faith and a life of obedience to God? Last month, during the Taylor Swift concerts, a friend and I boarded a taxi from a mall. The taxi driver told us that he picked up some Indonesians who are Swiftie fans. They came all the way from Indonesia. They flew all the way to Singapore without concert tickets. The fan of Taylor Swift have become one of the biggest fandoms of the world. The Indonesian fans waited outside the stadium hoping to get some concert tickets. Her fans were such devoted and faithful followers. I wonder, how may we, Christian, be faithful followers of Jesus? What does it look like for us? Have you been spending time with Jesus? How do you align your desires with that of God's desire? How do you, as a leader or teacher of the Bible, guide those under your care? What do you practice at your workplace? Is there an area in your life that God is calling you to be obedient to? Even when we are unfaithful to God, God never forgets us. He's faithful towards us. God desires that we respond to Him in sincere obedience. God is faithful to you. How may you be faithful in your relationship with God? God asks a double question in verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Has not one Creator created us? Yes, we all have only one Father, and we have one God, our Creator. Not only should we be faithful to God, we must be faithful to those, to others as well. Have we not all one Father? This brings us to our second point: be faithful in your relationship with others. In the second half of chapter 2, the message was given to the whole nation of Judah. The people then were indifferent to God's will. They were unfaithful to their Jewish wife and they married pagan women. God did not accept their offerings and they blamed God for being unfaithful to them. To motivate the Israelite obedience, the prophet reminded them of their spiritual and covenant unity with the one Father and Creator of us all. Verses 10 to 12. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why then are we faithless to one another, profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah has been faithless, and abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob any descendants of the man who does this, who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. In the Old Testament, the use of the word father is an expression of the covenant relationship that God established with Israel. God chose them through Abraham, redeemed them from Egypt, and confirmed by covenant at Sinai. For you and I, we are believers of the new covenant with faith in Jesus Christ. This new covenant is based on faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of sin. Good Friday, that is 2 weeks ago, reminded us of Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. Jesus died on the cross to redeem us. Because of our relationship with Christ, we are adopted as sons of our Father. The whole of Israel has one Father. The one faithful God elect Israel as his nation. The one God created them all and brought them to one community in a covenant relationship to himself. And this should produce not only faithfulness to God, and it should produce faithfulness to others in the covenant community. There should be one happy family. But the covenant people were unfaithful. Many married foreign women who are idolaters. And this violated the marriage stipulation of the Mosaic covenant laws. As God's elect nation, the organic unity of the Hebrew was jeopardized. The people betray one another in a covenant community. They profane the covenant of the Father. They will be judged. The judgment may include expulsion from the community. The prophet's admonition to the Israel was a call to loyalty. The one faithful God called them to loyalty to him and his covenant. The charge of the faithlessness continues in verses 13 to 16. And this second thing you do, you cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning, because he no longer regards the offerings or accept it with favor from your hand. But you say, why does he not? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. For the man who does not love his wife but divorces her, says the Lord, the God of Israel, covers his garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not be faithless. The people were weeping and complaining at the altar because Yahweh refused to accept their offerings. The people asked, why does he not? Why does he not accept my offerings? As people of God, we bring offering of worship to God that are pleasing to God. We ourselves is that offering. The Israelites' offering were rejected because they themselves were the inappropriate offerings at religious service. Yahweh is a witness of the covenant of marriage. When they divorced their wife, they broke faith with God and with their wives. As mentioned earlier in verse 10, the one Father and Creator is Yahweh. If the people have one Creator, they should be one. And Yahweh is seeking godly offering. He desires that the Israelites be faithful in their marriage covenant. And through the prophet, God commanded them to stop their disloyalty. The covenant people were unfaithful. The one faithful God called them to loyalty to Him and His covenant. He also called them to be loyal to one another as a covenant community. Other than loyalty in marriage, we must be loyal in our relationship in our family and be loyal to friends and others. Many years ago, I served as a chaplain in a church kindergarten. One day, I was seated along the corridor with a co-worker. We saw two boys walking to the toilet. They were K-1 students. They were about 5 years old. One boy was looking down, and the other boy has his arms wrapped around the shoulder of the first boy. The second boy was smiling as they walked past us. And he said to us, "He needs to go to the toilet to poo, but he does not know how to clean up himself. I will go and help him." My co-workers and I were both pleasantly surprised. The first boy needed help. It's not a very clean job to help with. The second boy obviously understood the needs of his friend. He did not leave his friend in the lurch or abandon him. He stayed with his friend. He wanted to help him. We were impressed as he spoke with such confidence. Moments later, they emerged from the toilet, both looking happy, and they made their way to the classroom. My friend and I were so impressed with such loyal friendship. How many of us would continue to stick together with our friends or loved ones through the thick and thin in lives? Well, just a side note, as we were savoring the goodness of a loyal friendship, the form teacher stormed out of the classroom with the first boy. He was furious and pointed to the boy. His pants were soiled. Well, although the second boy did not do a good job, his loyalty to his friend were commendable. How about you and I today? What is God calling you to do in your family or with a difficult friend? Are you willing to obey Him in your workplace? If your heart is far away from God, and if the faithful God is calling you, will you come to Him? Even when we are unfaithful, God never forgets us. He's faithful towards us. The one faithful God calls us to loyalty to Him and to His covenant. The one faithful God calls us to be loyal to one another as God's people. Will you be willing to follow Him? God is faithful to you. Will you be faithful in your relationship with others? How will you respond to God today? In conclusion, let me share a testimony by Henry C. As a young boy, Henry was exposed to various religions. He learned about Jesus when he was 10 years old and started praying to God every night, but he did not attend church. He read the Bible. Although he could sense God's presence in his life, he also participated in religious ritual of other faith, whom his relative believes. Henry went through ups and downs in his life, but God was near. As a teenager, he told God, "God, I don't want to pray anymore. I want to go out and see the world." He stopped praying to God every night. Henry ended up joining a gang, dropped out of school, and began smoking drugs. When he was retrenched from his job as a supervisor in a construction site, he was devastated. And then he went back to drugs. This time he was caught. As Henry awaited his court case, the Christian lawyer representing him asked if he could pray for him before the first court hearing. Henry told him, "I hire you to fight for me, not to tell me about Jesus." Nonetheless, he accepted his prayer. As the lawyer prayed for him, Henry heard God speaking to him for the first time in his life. He said, "All these years, 15 years since you told me you wanted to see the world, I have been waiting for you. I have never left you." Fast forward, Henry was released from the prison. He found a job, he got married, divorced, and remarried. In his down moments, he saw a white figure in his dream. His good friend took his life due to drug and schizophrenia. His grandma, to whom he was close to, died in the same year. And some years later, his father passed away due to cancer. His relationship with his wife also deteriorated, and she divorced him and left the family. One day, as he stood at his window in his flat at 15th story, he thought of committing suicide. The suicide persisted as he sat in front of the altar in his cell to do his regular meditation. Different voices continued speaking to him, but they all quickly disappeared when Henry sensed a presence enter the room. He said, a voice told him not to commit suicide, for he would surely help him. Henry was stunned and he asked, "Who are you?" The reply came in Mandarin, "我就是我，你可以叫我神灵或神." Translated in English, "I am who I am. You can call me spirit or God." Then he heard Jesus speaking to him for the second time in his life. "Till today, I have never left you. You have seen me before, but you did not believe in me. After all that you have gone through, now you know who is your real God." Life was challenging for Henry. He turned away from God several times, yet God is He's faithful to him. God never left him. God's heart is always turned towards you. He's always faithful to you. His desire for us is to be faithful to him. God invites you to return to him. Next slide. God invites you to return to him and be faithful to him. Are you willing? will you come to him? Amen.
Let us rise as we sing the hymn of response, O God, our faithful God. Since this